morning. Before you become too settled, I'm going to ask us to move farther up and maybe a little more compact. It is just a tremendous favor for the song leader and for all of us who would just as soon sing in a chorus as a solo. So I'll give you a moment here to do that. Thank you, thank you. Well, it is warm outside. We've been waiting and waiting. And so with that warmth and our own personal warmth, we just welcome each other into this morning's worship service and a time of focusing our thoughts Godward in that. We do continue in the season of Easter, which goes until Pentecost, if we pay attention to a calendar like that. And I think we sometimes get in a hurry to pass over these big commemorative times within the Christian faith, and resurrection is one of those. So to celebrate and think of Easter for the next several weeks would really be good. I ask you again to join in with the call to worship as we begin to focus our thoughts here, and there are short lines for the congregation to respond to. Lord Jesus, come among us, seen and unseen, known and unknown. We are here. Lives are on a journey, on a pathway, a varied landscape. We are here. We long to hear your word to us, the words of life. We listen. We sense your presence of the Holy Spirit here. And we sense your spirit in our brothers and sisters. We wait. We sense. I wanted to read a line again. We wait. Let us pray. Holy God, our desire is to worship you, to honor you, the one who knows our name. On this day that we weekly remember Jesus' resurrection, we pause in silence and bow in grateful humility and adoration. And in our silence, be present. Amen. Let us worship in song.
Good morning. Please take your blue hymnals and turn to 106. 106, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. I'm going to invite you to stand also. 106. All hail the power of Jesus, King, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown his Lord above. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown his Lord above. You may be seated. And please turn over to 121. 121, Holy God, we praise thy name.
The passage out of Luke this morning tells the story after the resurrection, and Jesus is using scripture as he explains to these two travelers why the events have happened. I don't know which ones he's used. I wish I did. But I thought about what must have been at the core of the Jewish people understanding of scriptures. And it's captured in Psalm 119, of which I'll read a few of those scriptures then, that don't necessarily reflect upon what Jesus was saying, but the devotion and the adoration, the worship of the scriptures. So from Psalm 119, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. Let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation, according to your promise. And I think we can respond together, thanks be to God for this. Together, thanks be to God.
Please join me in prayer. Lord, you have promised that where two or three are gathered, there are you in our midst. And here we are, Lord, gathered by the drawing power of your Spirit, drawing us toward yourself and toward each other, drawing us toward that kingdom that you are bringing to pass, even in our midst. A kingdom that will replace all the kingdoms of this world, that will unite heaven and earth. Grant, O God, that in this time of worship, we may experience something of the coming of your kingdom, O Lord, and that our hunger and desire for that kingdom would be all the stronger for it. And Lord, grant that in our sending and in our scattering as well, we may be heralds of your kingdom, having brought from our encounter with you and your word something of your kingdom to the world around us. Lord, in this time that we are here, touch each one of us where we need to be touched by your grace, your kindness, your mercy, and your correction. And Lord, let that same blessing, your Spirit, be upon all who cannot be with us today, either for reasons of health or for reasons of travel and celebration with their families as well. For we are yours, Lord. We are yours whether we are here or whether we are scattered, whether we are together or wherever we are. Grant, O God, that we may see that all the more and the world might see it in us. This we pray in that name above all names. Amen.
Let us receive our offering at this time, those that are prepared. Let us pray. God of giving, when we come to offering, I so often think of the songs that we sing. All good gifts are sent from heaven above, and this one, Lord, grant us a spirit of giving with a spirit large and free. We recognize you are the source of all that we have, and our desire is to have this spirit that is so large and so free that you have given to us. Bless these gifts we offer. Amen.
please join me on a very familiar song, and I especially want to hear the children singing. There's going to be a couple of verses that are maybe a little newer to you, but you know the song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as He loved so long ago, taking children on His knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me still today, walking with me on the way, wanting as a friend to give light and love to all who live. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Thank you, children, for singing. Would you please come up now for the children's story? Good morning. How is everybody today? Good to see you. So there's a prayer that we do here at Zion almost every Sunday. And I know that it's a prayer that you say downstairs before you go to your Sunday school classes. What is that prayer called? The Lord's Prayer. Thank you, Levi. So I'm going to share the words of the Lord's Prayer with you today with some pictures, but also with a little bit more explanation on what this prayer is all about, okay? So first of all, I want you to know that Christians all over the world pray this prayer. And Jesus taught His disciples this prayer in the Bible, in the books of Matthew and Luke. You can look it up sometime. Our Father, who art in heaven. Are we alone in a vast spinning universe? Or does someone watch over us as a parent watches over a child? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. And if there is a someone, then that someone must be strong, life-giving, gentle, good, and loving. Lincoln, who did you say that was? It's Jesus. Thy kingdom come. So, may goodness and love rule in this world. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May goodness and love rule through all the universe, both seen and unseen. May goodness and love rule. That sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? goodness and love all over the universe, seen and unseen. Give us this day our daily bread. May the world's people have all they need to live in simplicity and joy. Give us this day our daily bread. Yes, he's climbing up the tree to get apples. And forgive us our trespasses. When we fail to be good and loving, may we be forgiven. Forgive us our trespasses. As we forgive those who trespass against us. When we are wronged, may we learn to forgive. Yes. And lead us not into temptation. May we never fall prey to hatred, greed, or wickedness. And lead us not into temptation. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for these words from Jesus that he gave to his disciples long ago and that he also asked us to use and to pray so that your world will be goodness and life and joy for all. Amen. Thank you for being good listeners.
From Luke 4. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him.
What are you discussing as you walk with each other along?
Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?
What things?
The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people.
And how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified.
And we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place.
Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning.
And when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive.
Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him.
Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary for the Messiah should suffer all these things to enter into his glory?
Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all of the scriptures.
While hurts burning within us, while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us.
Matthew.
As we were hearing that story read, I had something of a flashback to the past when I was serving as pastor of Emmanuel Mennonite Church in Minneapolis, there was a particular person, a woman from Ethiopia by the name of Selamawit, who would sometimes lead worship and read the scriptures. And I always knew from experience that when she was leading worship or reading the scripture before the message, then after the message, she would ask a question. She would say something like, "Pastor Matthew, why is it that in this passage..." And then I'd be left there starting the message going, you know, then it was usually a pretty good question. And I could almost hear her saying, "Well, Pastor Matthew, how is it, why is it that the disciples, these two disciples, didn't recognize who Jesus was walking with him? What does it mean when it says that their eyes, their minds were clouded?" I forget how they put it, but they just weren't allowed to, didn't know, recognize who he was. And again, I'd sort of stand up here and go, the least I can say is that it probably has something to do with the difference, just what does a resurrection mean? When we talk about Jesus being resurrected, and there are all sorts of mysterious things that happen with his resurrected person. He can eat fish. You can touch him. You can feel him. He still bears the scars, but he can also appear in rooms. And sometimes people recognize him and they don't. And that says something about what resurrection is, and anything more than that is beyond my pay grade. We will know when it's time to know. Right now, now I'd like to get us thinking on board with a message here by asking you a question. If there were a time machine that could take you backwards or forwards in time to a specific period or era in history, to a specific time and place, where is it that you'd want to go? And I've been told before, when you put people on the spot suddenly with a question like that, then you go first so that they don't necessarily have to listen to you and they can think about what their answer might be. So I'll tell you what mine is. I've often thought I would love to have been in North America about 600 years ago with people of the Ottawa Indian tribe, traveling with them by canoes all across the Great Lakes and the upper waters of the Mississippi and the portages and the trails, just to see the beauty of that area before it all got covered over with asphalt and factories and factory farms and roadside rest stops and all that kind of stuff, big cities and everything. I would have loved to have seen that area, because the Ottawa Indians were the traders who carried news and trade goods and things like that from all these different tribes. So they were constantly traveling all over the area. And by the way, if you've ever driven a Pontiac car, that car is named after a famous Ottawa Indian chief. Okay, so I would have loved to have been there to see all that and experience all that. I probably would not have lasted very long, but I would have loved to have seen it. How about you? If you could go somewhere in time to some place, forward or backwards, where would that be? Anyone? Okay, you would have loved to have seen the building of the pyramids. Okay. Anyone else? Okay, the dinosaurs, to see the day of the dinosaurs. I probably would not have lasted very long in that either. But okay. Anything else or another time? Okay, to pioneer and make a space. Okay, somewhere in the wilderness to make a space. Okay. One more. We'll take one more. Anyone? With the school of the prophets. Okay. That you read about in like 1st and 2nd Kings. Yes, that would have been powerful. Okay. With Pat, too, there's another part of me, too, that says, I would have loved to have been there in first century Palestine on that road between Jerusalem and Emmaus, with the two disciples and Jesus to hear that first ever Christian Sunday school Bible class ever, because it was Sunday morning and it was a Bible class, as Jesus taught about himself in relation to the law and the prophets of the Old Testament. I would have loved to have heard him unpack all that stuff in the Old Testament, you know, as it connected to him and as he relates to it. And I would have loved to have asked him some of my most pressing questions about the Bible and the Old Testament. And that'll get me started on what I want to share next. And I would love to go back there for two reasons. And the first one I mentioned, just to hear Jesus' own exposition of the Old Testament. And the second is that time and place is so important and so fruitful. That time between Jesus' death and resurrection and the Pentecost gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's such an important time because the risen Jesus then continued working with his disciples, teaching them and forming them for their ministries and for their own resurrection destinies. And what made it so fruitful, I believe, is that at that moment the disciples were empty. They were broken and they were open and receptive to Jesus in ways that they had not been before his death and resurrection. Because, you know, you read the Gospels, and before the crucifixion, the disciples seem to have been so cocksure about who Jesus was and about what he's going to do and about themselves and how they fit into Jesus' program and how they're going to help him out and make things work. And half the time, they were wrong. They just had it all wrong. And the disciples not only had to be retaught and corrected, they really had to be broken by Jesus' death, broken by a soul-shaking encounter with the limits and the failures and the falsehood of their own power, their own virtue, their own wisdom. You know, after they had abandoned Jesus and denied him and betrayed him, and after they'd seen all their certainties and false confidence and their expectations go down the tubes, one of them, I mean, that was so severe, one of them did not survive that lesson, Judas. And the others had left them empty and broken, but also willing and waiting to receive a power and a wisdom and a virtue other than their own. And it's the same power that brought Jesus back from the tomb, alive and resurrected. And I bet that many of us, looking over periods in our own lives, we can identify also with those disciples and their broken, empty, open experience between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, when we've had some of our own easy, glib certainties and assumptions also broken or killed by things that are just not supposed to happen in God's good world and to good, God-fearing people. Like today, it seems like, with the unraveling of civil society and the breakdown of the rule of law in so many places, or the recent terrorist attacks against Christians and churches in Sri Lanka, and then again more recently in Burkina Faso, where we have friends and ministry partners. But during this Easter season, and every Easter season between Easter and Pentecost, we are celebrating the work of God. We are celebrating a God who works not so much through tweaking things or progress or improvements, but through resurrection. And resurrections always require that something dies. And in this post-resurrection period before Pentecost, even on the road to Emmaus, we see what it is like to walk and to talk with the risen Jesus, like in the song, the verses that we sang of Jesus Loves Me. That captured it so much. What it's like to be like Cleopas and his buddy on the road walking and talking with the risen Jesus. And the effect of that is not just that they get tweaked or reformed or improved so that they have a better day this Sunday than they had on Friday or Saturday, but by walking and talking with the risen Jesus at such a rough, tough time, they actually experience a resurrection of their own. And they can radiate that resurrection power to others. This same risen, resurrected Jesus walks and talks with us even today. And he's just as interested and caring and loving for each one of us and in sharing his resurrection power, his resurrection life with us, as he was for Cleopas and his traveling buddy 2,100 years ago. And that's why I hope between now and Pentecost to preach and teach from the New Testament about Christ's post-resurrection life and ministry. Because that life and ministry of his after resurrection tells us so much about how he continues walking and talking and working with us, even now, even in our roughest roads to Emmaus. But that means that my desire or interest to go back to first century Palestine, to that road with Jesus and Cleopas and his friend, it's not only impossible, in a way it's pointless. It's not necessary. And even if such time travel were possible, well, fat chance of my understanding first century Aramaic. But there are at least three other reasons why going in a time machine back to first century Palestine would be pointless and unnecessary. And the first is, I really believe that we do have all that we need to know about Jesus and the Old Testament and the connections and the relationships between them all throughout the rest of the New Testament. You know, I didn't quite understand that until some years back, I purchased a New Testament that had all the Old Testament quotes and references and allusions printed in italics. And some of the pages of that New Testament were half italicized. And I would show that to you. I'd have a picture of it and project it on the screen if I could to prove it. But I gave that Bible away to someone some years back. But all those italics opened my eyes to how much of the Old Testament is in the New Testament. And so how so many of the words of Jesus, of course, and Paul and Peter and of Hebrews and John's Revelation are just directly quoted out of the Old Testament. And so much of what Cleopas and his travel buddy heard from Jesus on that first Sunday is probably parceled out, reflected upon and repeated in quotes and paraphrases and references all throughout Paul's letters and Peter's and Hebrews and John's Revelation. So that's one reason we don't need to go back there. A second reason why we don't need to take a time machine back there to get a personalized, Bible-based, life-resurrecting, faith-formation lesson from Jesus is because there are other disciples with us right here and now, walking with us on our own Emmaus roads. Whether it's groups of two or three or 200 or 2,000, however, whenever, wherever we gather, how many, there is Jesus walking with us. And when the risen Jesus joined Cleopas and his traveling companion, he was fulfilling a promise that he'd already made, that wherever two or three of you are gathered in my name, there am I in your midst. And there also we have a very good working definition of the church, one that will stand and still be there even if sanctuary should go, pastors should disappear, pews should burn up or something. Wherever you have saints, disciples, in relationship with Jesus and each other, however many, you've got the church. And that's where Jesus still shows up today, to teach, to comfort, to challenge, to encourage, wherever and whenever disciples gather to accompany each other, even in and especially in those difficult, confused parts of our journeys. Jesus is always there with us, whether we recognize him or feel him or not. But it seems that when we are also open and seeking and vulnerable, when our faith in our own wisdom and conventional wisdom and power is broken, and we know that we are in need of comfort, challenge, encouragement, teaching, correction, whatever, that's when we are most likely to see Him, to hear His voice, and to realize He's been there all along. And that's why we here at Zion Mennonite Church are starting up the Stephen Ministry Program with Pastor Jana's training and leadership to help us also accompany each other on our own rough roads between our own Good Fridays of suffering, loss, and confusion and our Easter Sunday resurrections, whether it's through an illness, a diagnosis, a bereavement, an estrangement, a major life transition. Those are roads that none of us should walk alone. But whenever there are at least two of these disciples walking these roads together, then you can say that 1 + 1 = 3 with the additional presence of Jesus, the risen Jesus. So even if there were a time machine that could transport us back to first century Palestine, don't bother to get in and push the start button. Just look at the saint right next to you. Jesus probably actually put the two of you together. Now, a third reason, too, that the time machine would not only be impossible but pointless is that the fire is still burning. By that I mean the fires in our hearts. And no, not the kind that you need Maalox for. I mean the kind of fire that Cleopas and his buddy talked about when they looked back on that first ever Sunday school Bible lesson that the church ever had and said, "Whoa, did not our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us?" And that is a fire of conviction, of encouragement, of enlightenment, renewal, repentance, relief, and release. A fire of love, of hope, and of faith in God and in God's Word. It's a resurrection fire, the fire that first burst into flame in that empty tomb. And that same fire would appear again visibly 50 days later on that Pentecost Sunday when tongues of fire hovered over the heads of 120 disciples, maybe including Cleopas and his travel companion. And the risen Jesus is still present with us today, starting and fanning flames within our own hearts, flames of resurrection life, of resurrection faith, a fire that thaws hardened hearts and burns away discouragement, fear, and the love of falsehood. John Wesley, who started the Methodist movement nearly 300 years ago, wrote of his own road to Emmaus-like encounter with this resurrection fire. When he attended a public reading of Martin Luther's Preface to the Romans at a house on Aldersgate Street in London, Wesley went there as a man who was very cold and discouraged about his indifference and sense of distance from God. He was very doubtful at that time of God's love for him. But this is how Wesley described his road to Emmaus experience there, hearing Luther's words in the company of other pilgrims. He says, quote, "While Luther was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. My heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance that was given me that He had taken away my sins, even mine, and had saved me from the law of sin and death." To start this resurrection fire, Jesus still uses the same kindling that strangely warmed the heart of John Wesley, that caused the hearts of Cleopas and his traveling buddy to also burst in flame. In all the scriptures. Use the scriptures under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So a third reason that we don't have to take a time machine back to first century Palestine for the risen Jesus to warm our hearts, to melt our despair, to melt our defenses and our indifference, is that He is still present here and now, setting resurrection fires within us and among us through his Holy Spirit in all the scriptures. I think then that it is a God-ordained event, not a coincidence, that we here at Zion Mennonite Church are starting up the Stevens Ministry of Congregational Care, of accompaniment on our roads to Emmaus, at the same time that we are also about to engage a pastor of faith formation based in all the scriptures. And both those ministries assure us that we do not walk alone, abandoned on the Emmaus road to our own resurrection. But let's not forget that however gifted these ministers are, these ministries are still at heart Jesus' resurrection ministry accompanying us on the road too. Jesus is still Emmanuel, God with us. And he continues walking, talking, teaching, ministering, challenging, and comforting among us today, but in resurrection power and presence. And we are but his witnesses, his servants, and his travel companions. So again, we don't need a time machine to understand or to experience or to share what Cleopas and his friend did on that road to Emmaus. Study all the scriptures seriously, prayerfully, with others, with Jesus in mind. And we'll find him walking and talking with us to give us also foretastes and experiences of resurrection life and love. Walk, talk, and study and pray with your fellow disciples in vulnerability, lovingly, openly, reverently. And let him or her walk and talk with you. And again, you'll see that one and one makes three. Jesus will be there. In the Word of God, in the people of God, in the Spirit of God, the risen Christ still walks and talks with us, even here, even now, lighting and fanning the fires of resurrection faith, hope, and love. Amen.
Lord, I am called to be here in this people.
As we get started on sharing and prepare to pray together this morning, I'd like to bring to your attention things that are printed in the back of the bulletin where we have prayer requests for you to keep in your prayers all this week. A reminder there to pray for the Yoder family after the death of Andrew, your nephew, that's right, about a week ago from the crane accident there in Seattle. I've not heard yet from our partners in Burkina Faso after a Protestant, an Assembly of God church was attacked and people were killed during a worship service in northern Burkina Faso. But on one of the news items that I read, one of the persons speaking was someone in response to this, calling the church to a gracious, loving, peaceful response, was the director of the Association of Evangelical Churches in Burkina Faso, who had been there with Don and Kelly and I celebrating that the Mennonite Church's 40th anniversary there last November. So that touches kind of close to home. And in the prayer for the youth venture teams and their leaders with Mennonite Mission Network, you'll see a couple of names known to us, group leaders. Del and Michelle Hirschberger will be accompanying youth venture people in Japan. And Marissa Smucker, who is a representative for Mennonite Mission Network to Zion Mennonite Church, who has visited us as well. And the fourth item, you'll see some of the reasons why we're kind of a smaller skeleton crew this morning. I understand that Kevin is, and let's see, Stan and Bonnie are celebrating graduations Brandon and of Trevor at EMU, and I imagine some might be out. Do we have some out in Virginia also for celebrating David Gingrich's graduation as well? So there's much that's going on, and others who are traveling for other reasons this time. It seems like in a time of danger, of war and violence, a saint from our past who can give us a lot of guidance to pray is Francis of Assisi. And before we get into sharing, I wonder if we can take a moment, if you would just read his prayer there. Just take a look at that. See if that is your prayer. And then in just a moment, I'd like to lead us in that. And then let's do some more sharing. And if this is yours, please join in with me in praying it. Most high, glorious God, enlighten the darkness of our minds. Give us a right faith, a firm hope, and a perfect charity, so that we may always and in all things act according to your holy will. Amen. What testimonies or cares or reflections would you like to bring to our attention as we go into prayer later? In a bit here. Please raise your hand if you have any such. Okay, Julie.
Yeah, thank you for your prayers and kind words and everything in what's happened in the last week with our nephew. Cindy has, the sister-in-law, has Stephen's minister reaching out to her, so that was nice to hear. But, I just thank you for your words today, and the message was so perfect. And life is hard, it's hard. And it's just good to be together and to have, we don't have all the answers, but just the faith of our church community and family helps us through difficult times. And we don't have to have all the answers, but I just thank you.
Thank you, Julie. Yeah, Harold. Well, let's keep it's official policy. Union rules here. Okay.
I've heard a couple guys talking out there this morning about a young man who was killed in a farming accident yesterday or day before down at Albany. So, and I think most people here would know who that was if you could find out. I don't remember who was talking. Who was saying that? Somebody was saying that here this morning. Gene Gosho. He would know who it is. Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Does anybody have any news about this person? Oh, okay. Here we are putting you on the spot. I hope that's okay. Okay.
Well, if some of you remember Weldon Burkhalter, who passed away about a year and a half ago from the Albany area. His son was killed in a farming accident yesterday involving forklift or something, we just found out this morning. Left with a wife and three young children. So just remember them in prayer. And his name was Kirk.
Okay, thank you. And many of us know from experience how difficult and dangerous farming is as an occupation. Yes, Tom.
I want to thank you for not abandoning us and continue to pray for us. You've been very kind.
And thank you for the opportunity to also walk this road with you. Julie, what you were saying too about the supportive nature of the faith of others. Thank you, Frank, for filling in when I couldn't be here last Sunday. I was like death warmed over on Sunday. It was about 2, going on 3 weeks of Becky and me trading off colds and flus and both ending up, or I don't know what it was that we had, but we both ended up with antibiotics, and she's still on antibiotics now. It was pneumonia as of Thursday, but she's doing much better now and sends her greetings. But, you know, I know that experience of, like, trying to pray, trying to read the scripture, and like I said, feeling almost more dead than not, and just having to say, well, somebody's praying. Somebody will have to pray for me right now. God, I know you. I'm going to trust that you're here, even if I don't feel nothing but wanting to sleep some more. And so I can testify to that too, how, you know, sometimes if it's a little hard to carry the faith, then find a brother or sister to carry it for you until you're ready to carry it for them. So let's take that to prayer, and I invite you to join me at the end of the prayer, again, the Lord's Prayer that, again, Janice shared with the children. And children, you know it, so you can do it with us, okay? And the version that's in the printed in the bulletin as well. Let's pray. Even when we don't recognize you, Lord, you're here with us on the road. And our brothers and sisters are here with us, even if they can't be here physically this morning. And Lord, we are part of a grand crowd of the nations walking the road to Zion, there to beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, O Lord, to learn from you the ways of your peace. And even now, O God, you are in Christ, are walking that road with us. O Lord, in a world of so many difficulties and things that are impossible to understand, in a world of discouragement or indifference, but also in a world of such beauty, of such power, of life and love, and of such hope, We pray, O God, that you will indeed fan the flames of assurance, of faith, hope, and love in our hearts through the Scriptures. Thank you for all that you are doing in order to empower and to encourage us. Thank you again for the Growth Towards a Stephen ministry. Bless Jana as she continues to lead and prepare the way. Thank you, O God, that someone has responded to our call for Pastor of Faith Formation, and guide us in our deliberations of the next step, and guide us in the changes and the transition that will come with and when we take on a new person. Thank you for Marlene's willingness. Guide our discernment, we pray. Thank you as well, O God, for the love that is there to support each other in times such as what Tom has mentioned, walking with him through his illness. Again, O God, bless all who are supporting him. Bless the doctors and the nurses attending to his care, O Lord, and bless him with a sense of your peace, your presence, your arms, those everlasting arms underneath him, holding him up. And Lord, we pray for the family of Andrew, who lost his presence, his love, in that terrible accident. Give them all comfort, and make of his life, O Lord, a testimony, and make the fruits of his life and his love continue to grow in this world, O Lord. And Lord, we pray for the family of Kirk Burkhalter, asking as well that you carry them through this time of loss and of grief. O God, for all of us too, make of us your hands and feet of blessing to all who suffer, O Lord. And for those who are preparing to lead and to serve with Youth Venture, in particular, we think of those we know and love, Dellen, Michelle Hirschberger, Marissa Smucker. Guide and bless them. And Lord, your power and blessing and protection, we pray upon our brothers and sisters in Burkina Faso and their fellow churches. And grant that in the face of fear and hatred, a witness of your love, a testimony of your peace, of your presence with them, would go forth also to encourage and strengthen them. Bless and protect all who are traveling now during this time to celebrate so many wonderful things. And bless, O Lord, and protect those who can't be with us because of illness. For, Lord, we are one church with your church worldwide in all time, a church with whom we pray in the very words that your Son, our Lord, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
There are sending words we want to take with us this morning, so I'd ask you to rise. May the seed of Christ's word, planted and watered by the Holy Spirit, find root and grow in your hearts. May your work and your relationships reflect Christ's constant presence in the days of this week ahead. Amen.